Well, good morning. Welcome to 9 o'clock on Friday morning. It's good to see you all here. You have arrived at the class of Forrest and Patty Smith, and this morning's topic is how to set up a Bible study. So we look forward to what they have to share with us this morning. Let's begin the day with our Father in prayer. Our Father, good morning. Thank you for allowing us to open our eyes and to get out of bed and to make our way here to learn more about how to study your word. Father, thank you for the fellowship that we share with each person here because of you. Thank you for the words that will be spoken. Thank you for Forrest and Patty sharing their time with us, joining us in Tulsa. Would you bless them in their ministry? Would you bless their move to Searcy? Help it to be smooth and with as few complications as possible. And would you be with them today as they speak to us? Give them words straight from you that will enrich our study of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for this session on how to set up a Bible study. And the picture that you see illustrated above is very much like setting up a Bible study, because we're going to talk about the mechanics today. And it's like a Lego puzzle where you have a parent that sets up this Lego thing to feed a very young child. And a Bible study has a lot of little parts to it. And we're going to kind of provide you with some parts of how you set up a Bible study so that we can adequately share the Word of God with a person who maybe knows nothing or very little about God. And so that's the purpose of today. So the objectives of the session today will be to provide you with some practical ideas and some hints on to help you as you conduct a Bible study. Another thing that we're going to do is we're going to present you some ideas on how to present the Bible studies, and there are some methods that are available, some approaches that you can use to actually present the gospel. And we're going to actually today give you a CD that contains a method for presenting the gospel. It's a PowerPoint presentation that you can take with you, that you can burn, and give it to your friends who might like to study the Bible. And also, it has a presentation method that that you can do it one-on-one with the person. Now, there's a lot of methods out there, and we realize that, but here's another tool for your belt that you can put in your belt with you to use with your friends. Now, yesterday, we discussed the fear that sometimes accompanies the prospect of sharing the gospel and our faith. And we gave you some spiritual conversation starters. And, you know, the thing is that we have to be bold in order to share our faith. And when we do, great things happen. And that's the thing that we have to realize, is that when we're bold, God works through us and in us to give us the words to speak to our friends, neighbors, and coworkers to enable us to initiate spiritual conversations. But without our words, without actually initiating the spiritual conversations, we can't get anywhere. But when we do initiate the spiritual conversations, we can reach out to people and share the gospel and God's love through our words.
So, you've got this friend, and you've overcome your fear, and you've invited them to study the Bible. And then you have this moment of panic, like, what in the world am I going to do next? You know, what am I going to say? How am I going to do it? Where do you start? And so, what you do is take a deep breath, and you realize that you're not alone, that it's God's Bible study, that it's God and the Spirit that are going to lead you and going to lead them to know, to relay God's message to them. So we're going to look at some practical aspects, some hints that we have that have helped us in our ministry to kind of share with you on how to actually set one up, the logistics of this. As far as structure goes, remember, don't be discouraged if you've invited someone to study and they back out. the first time. You've set up the time and you're expecting them, and then they don't show up. Or perhaps they call and say, well, I can't come because of such and such. You can't be discouraged by that, because remember, Satan is alive and he is trying to keep that person from hearing what God's message is. And so just be persistent. Don't be discouraged. Encourage them. Set up another time to study. And just don't give up. And until they tell you that I'm not really interested, I've changed my mind, I don't want to study, just continue to try to gently encourage them to set up a study. Now, where can you meet? You can meet anywhere you want. It's someplace that's comfortable and quiet. You can meet in your home. You can meet in their home. You can meet in a coffee shop or a restaurant, as long as it's kind of a quiet atmosphere so you can have a conversation and hear each other speak. But it just needs to be comfortable, someplace that you're comfortable with. We like to create a casual atmosphere sometimes by serving coffee or sodas or something if it's at our home. Many times we'll say, well, why don't you come over and, I made this cheesecake, and, come over and have some coffee and dessert, and we'll study the Bible. And it's kind of a non-intimidating way of getting people into your home. People like hospitality. People don't have people into their homes as much anymore. And so that's a really nice way to do it, and it's a non-threatening thing. And, these conversations that you have with people while you're socializing can give you a lot of clues about who they are and their background. So even those times that you're sitting and talking and just being social, are important moments to get that relationship started with them. Another thing, what about kids? What if the family you're going to study with has small children? And, that can be very distracting. What we've done in the past is have teenagers from the church. We arranged to have them babysit the kids. My daughter, Caitlin, in a recent study I had with a couple at church, had two small children, and we would meet at the church building on Sunday afternoons, and my daughter would come and just play with the kids and watch the kids, and then the parents knew that their child was being taken care of, and my daughter knew that this was a ministry, that she was participating in sharing the gospel, because by allowing the parents time to be undistracted and listen, that was a ministry for her. So you could do it with the teenagers from your church. You could make arrangements with them, and it trains them to learn how to minister as well. One of the key things, I think, in Bible studies is having a partner. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're a single person, well, I don't have a partner because I don't have my spouse. There are so many people in your church that would be delighted to participate in a Bible study. And it's just a great thing to support each other, to give each other courage. If you're new at this and you're not comfortable with this, to have a buddy to go with you so that you're not so afraid. There's just comfort that comes from that. And it's a great opportunity to include a Christian who's never participated in an evangelistic type Bible study, to expose them to this. They may never have had the opportunity to study with a non-Christian, and so to be able to actually sit there and listen while you study with the person is a great thing. And it will teach them. They may discover that they have a love for evangelism that they didn't know about. I had a friend, Lee, very active in the church, and she had never studied with anyone, and came along another woman that I was going to study with. And I try never to study with somebody by myself, not because I'm afraid or don't know how to do it. I want to pull somebody else in to mentor them, to teach them how to do this so they can see how it's done. So I invited her to study with this new woman, and she came and she goes, well, I've never done this before. I'm just going to sit there. I'm not going to say a thing because I don't know what to say. And before long, she was sharing too, because she, as a mature Christian, she had things she wanted to say. She couldn't keep her mouth closed, and I would just step back and let her explain things. If our friend had a question, then Lee just joined right in there and was able to explain. Many times in a partnership, you can help explain things that one person's kind of stumbling over. The other person can reinforce it, or you can, if that person's not quite getting it, you can tell it from a different point of view, and it helps kind of clarify things a little bit. So by including someone else in your Bible studies, you're mentoring. You're helping someone else learn how to do this. And then if you do run into difficult situations, if they ask a question that you've never thought of, or, you know, some big philosophical question that nobody has an answer to, and you just freeze, your friend may have an answer or may have the words to say. So it's a real great thing to be able to work together on that. Also, when you're finished with your Bible study, you can kind of debrief each other. You can talk about it. Well, you know, what do you think about this? And so it's a great thing to be able to talk about when it's done. Well, I think that really went really well, or, you know, I was really nervous. And so it's really nice to have a friend to be able to talk to about that. We also think that sitting around a table is a good thing, because it gives you a place to put your Bible and you can flip back and forth. And it's a very comfortable place, so we prefer to have it around a table.
Okay, when we talk about the use of the Bible, many times the person who you're studying with may bring their own Bible. And we go ahead and encourage that. That's fine. And it may be, you know, they have a version. It may, a lot of times, it's an old Bible. It may be a King James Version. And that's fine. What we usually do is we start studying the Bible, and they'll quickly find that the King James language is kind of antiquated, and you're using your easy-to-read New International Version Bible or another translation that is pretty easy to understand. And before you know it, they're looking at your version and going, that's pretty nice. And what we typically do is give them a Bible, an NIV Bible, or one of the translations, so that they're following along pretty quickly with you in terms of the same translation. And it makes it much easier for the study to go along, because then you're looking at word for word the same translation as you go through the Bible. It depends on the level. Most of the people that we study with have very little, if any, understanding of Scripture. And so they'll typically come in maybe with an old Bible, and then within the same day, you can hand them a hardback, pretty cheap NIV version that you can use with them to study. And typically what we do is we kind of feel them out for their level of understanding. You kind of have to be intuitive about this, and because you don't want to insult them if they do have an understanding of Scripture. But we've had people who don't understand book, chapter, and verse. And so we have to start from the very, very beginning with that, and then break it up in terms of Old Testament, New Testament, and kind of give an overview of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and start right from the very beginning. And that's the very fundamental type study that we do with people. Other people have a more advanced understanding of Scripture, and they may even come in with an NIV translation, and they're much more advanced, and you don't want to insult them with that. So you gently kind of fill them out for their level of understanding. Generally, we keep our studies to 1 hour so that you don't belabor it, and they're kind of thinking, well, gee, I don't want to come back because this has gone on for 2 to 3 hours and I don't want to do it again. And if you keep it strictly to 1 hour, then they're happy to come back again. We try to keep up the pace and not bog down in the details. I mean, you don't want the past to catch up to you during the study because you've gotten so bogged down. But we move as fast as they feel comfortable. In other words, you get a sense for, are they grasping what you're teaching? And you move as quickly as you sense that they're understanding. Now, if you have to slow down, you slow down because you're kind of grasping the idea that you need to slow down because they're not understanding it. So you slow down as necessary. But the idea is to stay on task with the subject material. Be sensitive to questions. For instance, if they ask a question that is not directly related to the subject material of the gospel, like they ask, well, what about the Muslims? Or what about this or that? Which may be a good question, but not directly related to the gospel. Say, you know, that's a good question. Let's write this down. And so you put together a list and you write down the question, not to insult them, but to write it down and say, this is a very good question that we can address later. But you stay on task with the subject of the gospel. And then that way you're able to move forward with the presentation of the gospel. And the idea is to keep your emphasis on the Bible. We need to assume that God has brought you together with them.
In other words, God has uniquely brought the two of you together to study the gospel of Jesus and his plan of salvation for you to help them grow in their understanding and for them to become a Christian. And so we want to stay on task with that. And one of the things that can come up during a study is, well, what about other religions? Well, that's a viable question, but it's not directly related to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you can write that question down and say, you know, that's a very good question, so let's write that down. And we'll address that at a later subject. The other one is, well, what about debating, what about science and the Bible? Okay, that's another good question, but it's not directly related to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what has happened is that when people get caught up in these distractions, it has actually led to debates and arguments that it can actually destroy a Bible study, can actually detract from the gospel of Jesus Christ and the person not becoming a Christian. So we suggest that you stay on task. Keep the focus on God's plan of salvation.
Remember that you're not going to have the answer to every question. And if you accept that right up front, then it can help you relax. And you're not going to come across to them like you know everything. You don't want to be a know-it-all. Nobody wants to be with a know-it-all. You're sharing what you've learned, what God has taught you, what's in the Bible. But don't feel like you have to have all the answers, because there's nobody that has all the answers. When they ask you a question and you just don't know, say, you know, I don't know. You know, I've never thought of that, or maybe it's, well, you know, I knew that at one time, but, and I know there's a verse in here about that, but I can't recall where that is. You know, I'm going to find that this week, and next time we get together, I'll show you what I found. And then spend the week researching that, have some answers for them the next time you get together. You know, pull out a concordance. Show them the concordance in the back of the Bible. They probably don't know what that is. And show them how they can take a word like love and look that up and how they can use that. And before long, they'll be looking up scriptures on their own, because they will have never known a way to navigate around this huge book that is so foreign to them. You know, and you'll come across as very honest, because you're not trying to put yourself as something that you're not. Be sure that you schedule your next time to meet with them before they leave. You know, sit down and say, okay, well, what's a good day for you next week, so that you can be sure and get a commitment from them for the next time you want to get together. And remember that you have to be very flexible in these Bible studies. We're giving you some hints and we're giving you some tools that maybe can help you, but every Bible study is different, because every person is different. You're uniquely different. And so when your style is going to be different than mine, and mine is different from Forrest. And so we all just go with what God gives you, because he's made us each different people. And so there's no specific formula. There's no specific formula or plan. And, you know, that kind of reduces the expectations that you don't have to do it just like me, and I don't have to do it just like you. You can do it the way God wants you to do it. And remember that we're meeting people at all different stages of their faith. There are people who are just brand new, who really literally have never gone to church, who don't know anything about the Bible, who know nothing but maybe the Christmas story, that maybe the only exposure to Jesus that they've had, all the way to people who have gone to church and have studied the Bible, but maybe didn't have a full grasp of what it meant, but they have some background about that. And so you're going to gear your study based on what their level of understanding is. I had a friend, Kim, who we studied with, and she was great. She'd grown up in a church, and but had never studied the Bible. So she came over one evening when we were to start this, and she puts the Bible down on the table, and she says, "Now what?" Had absolutely no idea. And so we had to open it up and show her the Old Testament, the New Testament, and explain to her what the books were. And, you know, it was all brand new to her. And that is so exciting, to be able to introduce this wonderful living word to someone who has never opened it before. It may have just been this Bible that sat on the coffee table that they recorded the family's genealogy with, or, you know, something that they saw in church, but they've never understood that those words were meant for them. And that is a beautiful, exciting thing, to be able to introduce that to them, to show them things that they didn't know were there. You know, we have another woman at church that my mom has been studying with, and my mom has been a Christian for all her life, and this woman her son came to church and he became a Christian and he brought his mother. And so my mother immediately stepped in and said, hey, you know, let's get together and study the Bible. I'd like to show this to you. And my mom had only done this once with another non-Christian. And so she sat down and studied with her and started at the very beginning. I mean, it's very much, you know, taking a small child. Because you don't, they know nothing about this. It's an amazing thing. And this woman was eventually baptized, and it was the most beautiful thing. Had never seen a baptism before. You know, we had to tell her what it was going to be like. Had never experienced that. And so, you know, when she came up out of the water, she waved. It was the most beautiful thing. You know, and you know, it does your heart good because it's, you're making a difference for eternity for people.
You know, and when we study with people, ultimately our goal is for them to come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. But sometimes that doesn't happen, and we're going to talk a lot about that tomorrow. It's what happens after you've studied with them and they don't accept Christianity, and what do you do? I mean, how do you follow up after that? And sometimes we have these expectations that that's going to be the outcome. But realize this, that you're studying with a person. And you're maybe taking them to the point where they're opening up the Bible for the first time and they're becoming competent in the Word of God. And you've moved them from nothing to competency in the Word. And now they're reading the Bible every day for the first time in their life. And let's just say that they move out of the area, out of town. We had a couple that we studied with them, and for some reason the wife had family issues, and she said, well, I just can't accept Christianity, and they moved subsequently. Well, later on we heard that they were conducting Bible studies. Well, they had not been baptized with us, and so, but we heard later that they were conducting Bible studies. So God had moved them from knowing nothing about the Bible to conducting Bible studies. So we don't know whatever happened to them. We don't have their history. So what happens is that you do what you can with what you have for as long as you can, and we're going to go into more details about that tomorrow. But this is what we have. We do with what we have for as long as we can. And one of the things, too, is not to be judgmental, because you're going to be meeting people who are living in sin. Let's just face it. We're in the world. And there'll be people who are heavily into drinking, smoking. They may be abusing drugs during the time in which you're studying with them. We've had that. They may be cursing. They may be living with someone at the time. And the thing is that we don't really focus in on that stuff. We actually ignore it. And the reason for that is we realize that we are not. Our goal is to share Jesus Christ with them because they feel a need to study and know Christ. In other words, that's why you're there. They felt it in their heart to study with you. And so you're in there with a study. And we had a couple that were living together, and he was a heavy smoker and the whole bit. And we never focused in on that, but we focused in on Jesus Christ and him crucified. And they themselves together decided not to live together. And we never said a word about that. And there's a verse that comes up, the next verse. It says, on the next slide, it says that what, this is an interesting passage. It says in John, and this is what Jesus says, when he comes, this is the counselor, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin. And so we believe that the Holy Spirit has a huge role to play in convicting people of sin. Not us, but the Holy Spirit. So when you're studying with people, the Word of God is there, and it convicts people. And the Holy Spirit's working in them, and it's convicting them. And so it transforms them, and it says, you know, this habit is not good for me. And you don't have to say a word. And there's this transformation that you begin to see in the lives of people, and it's visible, and it's progressive. And as they become Christians, you begin to see these habits just drop away from their lives. And so we believe that addressing sin is really not the priority
with people, but our job is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ and let the Holy Spirit do his job of convicting them of with regard to sin.
One of the things that we found useful is being an attitude that we're going to be students together, not that I'm going to teach you, because people don't respond well to being taught something. That implies that I know something that you don't know. And we are all students together. I mean, we're all here to learn now. I mean, you never reach the point where you know everything and you are finished growing as a Christian. So it's a true statement that we're learning together. So one of the things that I use to introduce people to studying is sometimes I'll say, well, you know, I love to get together with my friends to study together. That, you know, I just love to open the Bible, and I have found that when I do that with one of my friends, we become very close. That we talk about things beyond just the everyday, how you doing, what are you cooking for dinner. You talk about deep things. You talk about love and about faith and things that matter. And so, you know, I would love to have that kind of relationship with you, that I can sit down with you and we can share this together, because it's been so helpful in my life and I've made really good friends that way. And so it sets you up to grow together and to not be, you know, the teacher and student. And then by default, you're going to end up teaching them, because usually they don't know much about the Bible and you have some knowledge, and so they're going to defer to you and you're going to be able to teach them and show them and help them navigate the Bible and share with them. So, but you've not set yourself up as this teacher and student relationship.
We also, the role of the Holy Spirit is very, very essential in your study with the person. I don't know how we got to that slide. Oh, okay. The role of the Holy Spirit is very essential in the life of a person, in the studies. And we believe in the passage here in Matthew that says, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And so during the studies, we've seen this happen many times, that for some reason, as we're studying along, we say just the right thing at the right time to the person who needs to hear something. An example of this, I was studying with a gentleman, and we were going to cover a particular topic, and then for some reason, I started talking about the resurrection of Christ. And I went through, I have a real interest in the details of the resurrection and demonstrating without a doubt through all the passages that Jesus indeed was resurrected from the dead. And I went through all these passages and I spent about 40 minutes on it this particular day. And at the end I said, Gary, I have no idea why I went over the resurrection passages with you. And he said, well, I really needed this today, because he said, I've struggled with the resurrection all my life. I've struggled with believing it. And today I really believe it now. And that was the one thing he needed to become a Christian, was belief in the resurrection. And we've seen this happen time after time, that when you're studying with people, that you will, through the Holy Spirit, he will provide you with the right words to say at just the right time to that person, and you don't know why it is you said what you did. The other thing that happens is during your study, if you have a partner, there may be times when that partner will be praying during the middle of the study. In other words, they're not saying anything, but they may be praying. And so we believe in the role of prayer during the study. And you may be silent for a while and the other person's teaching, and you may be praying. And for God to lead us to say the right words, and for God to work through that person.
We believe that life is a spiritual journey, and we can encounter many people along the way who have been raised in various religious backgrounds, who've gone to different churches, but that have never studied the Bible. And perhaps they've never heard about adult baptism. This is a brand new concept for them. And, you know, once you study with them and you introduce them to some brand new concepts that is totally foreign to anything they've ever taught, in some cases opposite of what they've been taught, it's not uncommon for them to feel bad. you know, they have some bad feelings, and they're trying to emotionally reconcile the fact that they grew up believing one thing, and now the Bible says something different. And so you can expect there to be some real emotional turmoil as they go through this, because this is things that their parents have taught them. They brought them to church and they raised them, and they were doing the best that they could, but they didn't know. And so there's a lot of heartfelt emotion that's involved with this realization. You know, they may say things like, well, you know, I've been wrong all these years. You know, or maybe that, well, you mean that my family's going to go to hell because they didn't know about this? Or, you know, well, God didn't recognize my baptism or, you know, my confession or my worship. And this is the time when you really have to love them and tell them that God loves them and God loves their family and that no one is judging them. That this is a journey that God has sent them on. And their journey started when they were born. And God wanted them from the moment that they were conceived, that He wanted them. He wanted them to know these things. And that they were brought through their life by loving parents, perhaps, that brought them to church, who had a faith in God. They taught them what they knew. They taught them faith. They taught them love, which are all things that God wants us to learn. And now they're at this point where God has brought us together. And now they have an opportunity to learn more of what God wants them to know. And a time to open up the Bible and to learn how to study together. And so, you know, this is the journey that we tell them that they're on, that God has been with them this entire time, drawing them to Him, giving them the things that they needed to grow close to Him. And they don't need to feel bad about the past. They don't need to feel bad about circumstances of any way. They just need to know that God loves them and God is bringing them to where He wants them. We've also encountered issues about infant baptism. That seems to be a real stumbling point for some people. And so this is something that will occur. You'll teach them about baptism and the biblical concept of baptism in your studies. And then they need to know that, well, one of the ways we have approached this is that the infant baptism is the parents' commitment, that your parents loved you enough to bring you to church, and they wanted you to have a relationship with God, and this is what they knew. And they were committing that they were going to bring you up to know God, and that's a beautiful thing for a parent to do. But that now you know that this is what the Bible says about baptism, and it's very clear to them when you start studying baptism. You don't have to compare and say, okay, this is infant, this is adult. When you start opening the Bible and you see what the Bible says about baptism, they say, well, you know, I never knew that. You know, how can a baby make a choice? It becomes very clear to them without you pointing out that, well, this is not what the Bible says. And so you just love them. You tell them, you know, reinforce the things that they've known in their life, that this is God working. This is God bringing them to where they are. And, you know, it kind of helps them make sense of their religious past, because, you know, none of us need to feel bad about where we came from. And we're not in control of that. We're in control with what God gives us right now, and that we need to make them feel good about that, that God loved them enough to give them this word and to bring us together so that we can help them learn how to find Him in this book.
Now we're going to talk a little bit about some of the Bible study methods that are out there. And, I mean, there are many, many out there. But one that we've used over the years is the New Testament method. And in this one, when we first started studying the Bible with people, we would go through one of the Gospels and present that over a period of time. And the advantages of that is you get to, it covers the life, miracle, and teachings of and crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And people really get to know Christ. Now, there's a consideration with this, and that is it requires a long-term commitment of weeks and months that many people have difficulty today with. With their schedules, it's often difficult for people to make that long-term, many-month commitment to studying the New Testament. And another consideration is that, you know, you can go through the entire, you know, gospel and maybe not even ask for a commitment on their part to become a Christian.
it may end up being a nice study. And so we found ourselves, you know, coming to the point at the end of the gospel and going like, well, when are we going to ask them to become a Christian? And how do we actually present the gospel message part of it? And it was a good study. But we got around to that. You know, we would start asking them, well, you know, have you thought about becoming a Christian? But we always struggled with that part of it. Now, another approach to take is a one-lesson presentation. And this is a little unusual, because you normally hear about lessons that cover multiple lessons over maybe a period of weeks or days. But these are like one-lesson presentations. And they're a little unusual in that I've been on an airline and I've talked to somebody on an airline or maybe met them one time, and the opportunity has come up to share the gospel one time. You're going to meet them just one time in your life, and then they're going to be forever gone. Now, you won't have a chance to baptize them, but you could share the gospel one time. And a missionary friend of ours, Ken Bolton, who's actually speaking here at the conference and has the world radio booth over there, actually came up with a gospel on a napkin method. You can put on a piece of paper if you want to. And it's a pictorial view of the gospel, of Jesus' life, his crucifixion, and his burial and resurrection. And you go through the gospel on a napkin with somebody. And that one we're going to try and make available through our email address if you'd like to get that. And what we encourage you to do is practice presenting that one lesson gospel, so that anytime you do meet somebody where you get a chance to talk about this and you're only going to see them one time, to at least present it. Because you don't know that person might not then go out and continue their relationship with God. In other words, you might be that one seed that is planted in their life that is the one that sends them off in the direction of them becoming a Christian. Another one is we have people that come into the church and they are primed and ready to become Christians. And so we have a one-lesson presentation using a PowerPoint, and we don't want to hold them back. And you just go through one lesson and they're ready to become Christians. And then another one, but the considerations with that is that you have to follow up with these people and make sure that they mature through fellowship and study and worship. Okay, then the next one that we have is the Life Series, and we're going to give you a CD on this. And the advantages of that is that it's simple to use, it's visually appealing, and it's a presentation on PowerPoint. It's easy to teach, and it's easy for the person who you study with to learn the gospel. But the considerations for that, of course, is that you want to follow up with the person to make sure that they mature through fellowship, study, and worship. And I want to show you the cover slide of this. This is called the Life Series. This was actually developed by Lindsey Garman, who's a preacher down at Portland Church in Portland, Texas. And he actually developed the Life Series. He's a friend of ours. He was a minister at our church in Richmond, Virginia. And it's been highly effective in the churches where he's preached. And then it was used extensively in our church in Richmond and brought many, many people to Christ. I mean, it's just highly effective tool. And you put it into your CD, into your computer, and on one side, it's a one-on-one presentation that you can go through slide by slide to present it with somebody that you're with. On the other side, it actually has, every single slide has the audio portions, so as you listen, you can go through the slide and you can listen to Lindsey Garman present that slide so that you yourself can learn how to present each and every single slide in the presentation. So it's a tutorial as well, which is wonderful. So you could take the CD and actually learn how to present it without me having to do it or Lindsey Garman being there to actually present it himself. So that's the advantage of this thing. The other thing is you can burn these things and give them to a friend who can then use the student version with the audio part, and they can become a Christian if you want to, just by giving it to them, and they can respond. Okay, so if we look at the overview of the presentation, it's six lessons. And the first one is, where do we go to learn about the life? And that's the Bible. The second lesson is, why can Jesus be called the life? And it's Jesus. What blocks the way to life? And that's sin. Who opens the way to life? And that's Christ on the cross. How can I experience the life? And that's faith. And with whom can I share the life? And that's the church. And what I'd like to do is present just a couple of slides that I pulled out of each lesson to kind of illustrate the thing. So in the first lesson, where can we go to learn about the life? And that's the Bible. This is just one slide out of there to illustrate that the Bible is a reliable source in which we can begin our belief in Jesus. And this one says, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you will have life." And so Jesus is the source of life. In lesson two, why can Jesus be called the life? Jesus made some astounding claims during his ministry on earth. And these are some of the astounding ministry, astounding claims that he made. And during the lesson in on John, we actually demonstrate that each of these statements that Jesus made are backed up. In lesson three, what blocks the way to life? And that's sin. And we use a picture word, which is the big I. And it demonstrates that the big I of sin is selfishness, self-centeredness, and self-seeking behavior. And that as sin grows, which is in the next slide, that it begins to obstruct God in a person's life to the point where God is completely obstructed. And that's the problem of sin, is the big I, where God is no longer present in a person's life. Lesson four is who opens the way to life? And this is Christ on the cross. And this slide this is a beautiful slide in the sense that it demonstrates that in the blood of Jesus justifies us. And justifies is Jesus, in Jesus, God treats me just as if I never sinned. That's literally the translation of justifies, just as if I never sinned. That's the same word is righteousness, and justified are the same words. Just as if I never sinned. When God looks at you and me, he looks at us just as if we never sinned. Perfect. That's a beautiful thing to think about. Okay, the next slide shows that when God looks at the heavenly records, on the cross, God made Jesus sin for us. And so when we look at the heavenly records, all those little X's are our sins on Jesus on the cross. And God looks at us just as if we never sinned in the heavenly records. And so we have these scriptures that show the way that Jesus took our sins on the cross for us. And then in the lesson five, if we go to the next one, it's a lesson on faith. How can I experience the life? Teaches the beginnings of faith, that faith is more than simply believing. It involves trusting and obeying. And it talks about, and then what is our response to faith, which is baptism. And we have a very nice illustration about what baptism is, which is a burial. You bury dead people. And so baptism is a grave, a burial where you bury dead people. And you rise them up into new life. And then lesson six is, with whom can I share the life? And that's in the church. And this lesson illustrates that the church is essential for fellowship, encouragement, sanctification, and edification. And this slide here just illustrates that edification is the idea of building others up, that we build each other up in the church. And you can't get this by being by yourself. And we emphasize the church because people say, well, yes to Jesus, but no to the church. But we say, no, you can't have Jesus alone without the church, and the church is essential. So, in conclusion, at some point, you need to open up the Bible to convey the gospel of Jesus. I mean, you can have a relationship and share your faith, but we've got to all open up the Bible at some point to share the gospel. And we believe that the Holy Spirit plays an essential role in insight into God's Word and in touching the hearts of people. And you can plan and prepare forever, but at some point, you just need to do it. And if you'd like a free CD, copies of the Life Series, you can contact us at flsmith4@juno.com for the Life Series.
We have about 50 copies of them up here, and so whoever comes up can get one. We ask that it could be one per family so we can make sure as many people get it as possible. Well, if we run out, we didn't have much faith. We only made 50 copies. If we run out, then we have some cards. You can write your name and address down, and we'll send it to you for free, or you can email us. And if you'd like a copy of our notes, we'd be happy to email that to you as well as the napkin presentation that Forrest was talking about. But thank you guys for coming.
Yeah, thank you.